This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Also, Keanu Reeves is.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves is. Yeah. Must be sensible here.
And from what I hear, he knows kung fu.
That was a movie.
Look, reality is hard. Okay.
All right, let's get this sucker kicked off.
You bet.
All right. So, welcome to the Wayfinder panel. Yay! Anyone here brand new to Wayfinder? Awesome. Great. Cool. Love to see it. Hello. Come on in. So. We are the sort of missing our Dane.
Yeah.
Missing our Dane.
Our layout guy. He has not been to PaizoCon since we were in Redmond.
Since we started coming, yeah. Basically.
So, but he's in North Carolina, and he has been doing the Wayfinder layout since issue number 6.
Yeah.
He is. He wrote the foreword for this, so you get to get his unique perspective on the torture that we put him through over the years.
Yeah.
But, he's the other part of the team.
Yeah, so we're kind of like the core staff of Wayfinder. We are also volunteers, just so you know.
None of us are getting paid.
This 100% by volunteers, of volunteers, for volunteers.
Not yet from volunteers, but soon.
Yes, we're working on the Soylent paper. So, this is Tim. Yep. The editor-in-chief.
Yeah, I'm Tim Nightingale. I am the co-founder of PaizoCon, along with Liz Quartz. Liz Quartz is one of the founders of Wayfinder, along with Hugo Solis, who is from Mexico. Mm-hmm. They started the first one. It was Hugo's little pet project. And he wanted originally, when I was running PaizoCon, he wanted to provide us with a... basically the booklet, the program guide. And I said, no, and this was a time where I'd already handed it off to Paizo, but I couldn't tell anybody. And I was like, no, I don't think we need that. I think you should just do like a fanzine. Yeah. And I think you should talk to Liz Quartz because she's really good at doing fanzines. So I kind of did that. But when Liz got hired by Paizo, she could no longer do Wayfinder and tricked me into doing it. And I have not been clever enough to get out of it yet.
No. And Dane came on at the same time as Tim. I am Kalina Conrad, along with my husband Eric Henley. We are the two assistant editors-in-chief, which basically means helping Tim not go insane.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
I do it independently of how much help I get.
Yes, well, and you know, he's down here in Seattle, and we're from Calgary, Alberta, so we can't just walk over and smack him.
We got to Skype that.
Yeah, we got to Skype that slap in there. I started out writing for Wayfinder.
Issue 6.
Issue 6, yeah. We actually caused the first sidetrack, full-length sidetrack, because I wrote a short piece of fiction. He wrote a real wheel and woe, and Tim contacted us and was like, this is really cool. Can I commission a sidetrack based on this? And so that's why we have sidetracks now.
Yeah. And Larry Wilhelm, yeah. I fielded it with him and said, I have a story and I have two characters, and there's something great here. Could you make the adventure that is inherently here? And it worked out so well. We like, you know, we're going to do this every issue that we possibly can. So
yeah, and we enjoy it.
Yeah.
This year's is Crystal and John wrote. Yeah. So
on top of that, we're all freelancers and we've done work with Paizo and third party companies and things like that. So it's not like we're just a bunch of armchair editors telling you, you know, how to get your big break in the business. Trust us, we know what we're talking about, you know.
Wayfinder itself, for those who are unfamiliar with it, is a fanzine. It's all of the articles are submitted by volunteers. The open call for submissions went open like a month ago. When we announced the theme, that's kind of when the open call opens, and then the deadline is October 31st.
We try to schedule at least 6 months of writing. We've tried giving longer, and it's kind of a waste because everyone does it in the last 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but 6 months to percolate to get them all, you know, that sort of thing.
It's the first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks of when 80% of the submissions happen.
So, but the so the goal of this magazine currently, regardless of where it started, is it's a place for new game developers, new fiction authors, people looking to break into writing for Pathfinder or for even for other systems like gaming eventually, but this is specifically Pathfinder and Starfinder. This is kind of a doorway. It's if you don't have any credits, this is a way to get credits. And there's actually a gentleman here at the con who came up who has a monster in this. And because he got a monster into this, he got part of an AP from Paizo. So he made a point of telling us that. That was pretty cool.
Well, we have someone else here that
wrote
something in the last issue.
Last two, yeah.
Last two, and got a job in the gaming.
My first freelance job.
Yeah.
So
it does work.
It definitely works.
The third parties are very aware of us. Paizo is aware of this. They look forward to seeing these in the office, so the staff at Paizo do actually read this.
This is definitely part of the way that I leveraged my way into freelancing. I had stuff back to Wayfinder 5. Just, you know, getting in a few magic items or some NPCs or monsters here and there. That and entering every contest I could find.
But yeah, so, and we do some development on this, so once we accept articles and we go into the editing process, which I'll talk about in a little bit, we do actually, if the editors have time, they can work with the authors on developing their work. Occasionally it just so happens that we don't have time for that, so...
Or we have an editor that isn't, that's not their bag, but
well, and
we're changing that.
The editors are also volunteers, and we do tell them that if they are uncomfortable with that process, that it's certainly not mandatory. If there's big changes or if you ever want feedback or whatever, we're always open to that. We don't generally publish it, but we will answer questions about feedback. So that's kind of what Wayfinder is. So I'm going to talk a little bit about like how we go through our procedure, how to get in, how to make sure you don't get in, that kind of thing. And then we'll open it up to some questions and stuff at the end. So, procedure. First thing we do is announce the theme. So, generally we announce the theme just before PaizoCon, usually when we're about ready to put out the previous issue. We recently went to a schedule of one issue a year. We used to do 2 issues a year, which was just a little much. We would already be in production for our second issue right now, which would probably have burned us all out. The cool thing is that we ended up lining it up with the year quite by accident. So this is issue 18 coming out in 2018. So next year will be issue 19.
I'm in the fae.
Yeah, it's totally the fae. So we announced the theme. Important thing about the theme, if you want to submit, obviously, is to stay on the theme. If we give you a Starfinder theme, Absalom Station, which is our current theme right now, is Absalom Station, and you write us a fae article, it's not going to get in.
Unless they're fae in space on the space station.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm that.
But if they're fae of the first world, it's probably not
right.
Make
so if you write me a Pathfinder article, and we're doing obviously doing a Starfinder issue, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
So also, if you decide you want to go to another planet or create a new planet, and the theme is Absalom Station, it's not going to get in.
Unless although that planet is inside Absalom Station.
Right. So.
Oh, dang it. Why did I say that?
Yeah, really? No.
There we go. Expect that one soon. So, yeah, I mean, we're pretty flexible, but it does have to tie in to the theme.
Yeah.
And it's got to be pretty obvious. If I have to make a stretch to possibly could, you're going to get, I'm going to have to put that one on the back burner, and then we're going to look at the ones that actually do meet the theme. So
yeah, exactly. If the theme is Absalom, the theme is Absalom Station. If you put out a planet that's somewhere in the far-flung corner of the galaxy, it can be really cool, but we're going to focus on somebody with a really good shot article first.
Yeah.
Something we can drop right into Absalom Station. Nobody's going to be having to force it into their game if they're playing on Absalom Station.
Yeah.
The same way if the theme was Ustalav, and you'd written a really good forest encounter. Sure, there's forests in Ustalav, but unless it's a really cool, spooky, gothic forest encounter, it's probably not going to get in.
It'll backburner. I mean, at least it fits if we need more material, which happens. But yeah, so staying on theme is quite important. That's a weird sound. Speaking of Ustalov, so the submission deadline. So we open our theme, we have about 6 months. The submission deadline is Halloween, October 31st.
At 11:59 p.m. so Pacific.
Pacific.
So you got all the way up to it strikes midnight and becomes the first.
Yeah, or if you live on the East Coast until like 2 a.m.
Yep. Right? It's Pacific time, or on the other side of the world, so it gets more complicated.
Yeah, I'm not going to even go there.
That's when you just said Pacific time on your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, put it in earlier.
No, there's some people in Britain that actually submitted a day early because it's weird. Yeah, they're and they just and some of them submit right like 5 minutes afterwards, and I have to kind of
It becomes iffy for us whether or not we even look at it if it comes in after the deadline.
Right.
Especially when you have 6 months to submit it ahead of time. Kind of like, oh, you know, really, I understand procrastination, I do it, but. Submission limit. When you submit, those of you who have already submitted will know, only 3 submissions per person.
We call this the set rule.
Yes.
There's a guy that's on the message boards, his alias is Set, and one issue before we put in the limit, he submitted 9 articles, and they were all good. All good, and I was like, it was a large majority of the issue was him.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to spread that out and make people submit, you know, really think about what the ones they really want to submit.
And because the whole point of this is to give exposure to new authors and game designers, having one person have 9 articles in the issue kind of defeats that purpose. We want to get variety. We want to give new people an opportunity to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it also cuts down on like us having 200 articles to read.
Yes. Yes, we do. We do hand read all, each of us. We all read every article that comes in. We discuss every one. Yeah.
I read them 3 times because I have to go through art and read them.
I read them probably more than 3 times.
Well, I mean, that's the start.
Yeah.
I don't read them nearly as often as they do. I judge way faster.
Yeah.
But I'm also way judgier. So.
Yeah, there's a reason.
They're looking for reasons to include you.
He's not. So submission limit is 3 articles. If you are submitting a monster, it's that monster is 1 entry. So, other things, it's a word count based. So if it's like a piece of fiction or anything, it's we have a 750 and a 1500 word category. So if you submit 1500 words, it's still just 1 article.
The only weirdness of that is magic items.
Yes.
So magic items, most of the time we like to have people do we like them to do themed articles because you can just write a bunch, you know, a nice set. So we had one that was altars of the elders, and it was an entire article that had a word count. It was 750, and so that was a theme. Yeah. There's ones like unholy weapons, you know, from, you know, whatever cult that fits the theme.
Yeah.
Magic scarves in Wayfinder 5.
Yes, magic scarves. So
the topic was Verizia.
Yeah. So those are themed articles, and you can write multiple magic items. Some people they have one magic item they just want to get out. Mm-hmm. And they put that out, and if you just send me a magic item that is not part of an article, I'm going to count that as one of your submissions.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to actually write an article and you're just going to send me an item, boom, that's going to be it.
Is totally cool.
Yeah, that is cool. But
we actually have a place, and a lot of times what will happen with articles, like we'll get an article that's just, you know, 8 magic items, and they're loosely related or whatever, but we'll pick and choose. So we may take 4 of the 8 things you submitted from your article, and we put it into what in the fantasy issues was called Hero's Horde, and what we are discussing will be the new name in the new book. Or in the Starfinder book, because obviously Hero's Horde is very fantasy. This will be more about equipment and armory stuff.
And magic items also, you may have a really good themed article, but we like a couple of them. It would be normally on the reject. Like, we're like, yeah, this isn't really good. or we just it's not what's going to happen here. But I really like that magic item.
And so, we'll pull those and put them into our like a general. Yeah. We had one good one year where they had a storefront, and it was full of like highly themed magic items that went with the storefront. So we actually ended up grouping all the other magic items
into
under
that store. Yeah, we just put it in the store, and that's kind of where Heroes Horde kind of.
Yeah,
we should just do that a lot. So
we do that a lot.
Yeah. So it is that, and we do that also with spells. It's just basically sometimes you do a really good article, and somebody else does one that's very similar, and together you make a better article. So sometimes we sandwich them together, and then the editor, whoever gets chosen for that, has a lot of extra work to do, and two other authors that they have to work with. It's really about taking what your submission is and making it into a really solid article that that offers a lot and fits the theme.
And makes you look your best.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's the submission deadline. Article review and selection. So once the deadline passes, because Tim lives here and we live somewhere else, we do it all online. So we have a Google Doc with all of the articles entered into it, and then we all read every article, and then put our comments, and then after everyone has read every article, we do like a 3 or 4 hour Skype chat.
I'm sorry.
It's not just your fault, it's okay.
They're really involved, and we do take the time to basically state our case. Like, a lot of times they'll be like, we all agree on this one. Does anyone want to talk about anything else on it? No. Okay, approved. It's going to go in.
Yeah.
And then we get someone who's like, I really like this, and I don't care what you say.
But it's broken.
Well, then how do we fix it, Eric?
My personal favorite, as the first female on the Wayfinder staff, was a couple of issues ago, we got an article from a prominent game person who's written for other things and generally does really good work. It was a story about a barbarian. And it was literally, he woke up in the morning, he got honored by his tribe, he had sex in public, and then he went out and killed something. And it was all about how virile and important he was. And these guys are like, well, it's a really well-known guy, and we like him, and it's a great, it's written really well, and I just...
It had a very, like, Robert E. Howard,
barbarian
vibe for the Numeria issue. And we were like, that's cool!
And I kind of put up my hand, and I goes, guys, this is a, pardon the language, this is a big swinging dick story. And they're like, it's a what? And I'm like, look at it! It literally is just this guy talking about how virile he is. And they're like, oh yeah, I guess that might offend some people. It's like, yeah. So... I'm very happy to say that there is a wide representation of perspective, and we do consider that.
And actually, I really value it because I need that perspective because the gaming industry is changing, and we have to be very mindful of that. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to have the other perspectives because we're blockheads sometimes.
Well, right. It's not even that. It's just
or we just don't see it or don't think about it. It's a mindset, and we have to change our mindset. And as I've been doing this, I've always thought I've been mindful, but it's great it's great to get the backup, which is what we're really looking for. And that we expect that out of our editors, too, because we might say, this is great, and the editor comes in and says,
what about this?
I have a problem with this.
And you're did you notice
really?
This
yeah.
part?
Yeah, did you notice this particular thing? And then you're like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to jump into some do's and don'ts?
So it's really, it's a team effort, and we value everybody's opinion from the whole process.
Do's and don'ts. One of the things, so the word count is very important. No article has a particular, like... any article can be either size, can be 750 or 1500, but it has to. You have to pick one. Can't be in the middle, can't be over. Usually within about 5% is okay, like it doesn't have to be exactly 1500 words.
But if it's 1200 words, that's a lot of work we have to do, because we have to either cut it down to 750 or extend it to 1500, because that's what fits on a one or two page spread.
Yeah. So get very close to one of those two. The exceptions to that are monsters. They are word count, they're exempt, because if you're submitting a monster, it can be 300
words.
Don't
go over 750 on a monster.
Yeah.
Ideally, for 750, it better be a pretty epic monster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Typically, like 300-400 words for a monster, it's about what we're expecting, because we're going to put them all together into a bestiary.
Yeah, the issue with that is if you look in a bestiary book, it's one monster per page. Sometimes a monster gets a two-page spread. So when we did the bestiary, there were some problems with the way we do it. What we do, because we are all about keeping the page count down and being really efficient with our page count, we run them back to back. So we're basically tail end to tail end, so they just flow, just like a normal article would.
Same with single magic items or spells or anything like that. They are word count exempt as long as they're not...
Right.
But even in a Paizo bestiary, a one-page monster is 600 words.
Right.
So, yeah. 750 words for a monster is enormous. Do you have a quick question?
Yes.
Yeah, one too.
Okay.
Does that include the stat block word count?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
How do you handle authors wanting to show the finished product of their own article, excluding the rest of the magazine, just crediting the rest of the magazine, right? Like, if they're submitting that article for their portfolio, can they cut out, you know, the pages and say, you know, this was in this issue of Wayfinder and, you know...
Typically, in my experience, if I am referencing a credit that is published, I don't cut it out of the magazine. I reference them to the magazine.
Okay.
Right.
If you have a website and you wanted to put the page up, you'll need to include the OGL, which is...
Right.
A lot of work.
The open gaming license stuff, which is the reason that we get away with publishing as the material.
Well, we're also under the community use license.
We are, yes.
But yes, you need to put the entire OGL, which
in this case is two pages of
legal jargon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In order to not get in trouble from OGL sources.
And there, like, if you put up the page out of the magazine, there's potentially copyright issues as well with layout and art. You need the permission of Dane and the artist to do that. If you wanted to put up the text, I think, I don't know, that's a question.
So, your creation is yours. That's the one thing that separates Wayfinder from probably anything else that you're going to do. All artists and all authors retain their copyright.
So you could put it up. It is yours.
So if you have something really good and you want to sell that article to someone else, awesome. If they want to buy it, great. The thing is that when you are accepted, we send out an agreement that you have to acknowledge is that you retain the copyright and you own your work, but you can't take it away from us. If we're going to publish it, we retain the right to use it, to print it, to reprint it, to put it for artists to put your art on our ad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but we usually tell everybody, hey, we're going to reuse it. So, for instance, when we did the bestiary, we retained the rights for all those monsters that were put in all the other issues because we were going to make a new product that compiled them all.
Yeah.
Right? So for me to not have that right, we couldn't do what we wanted to do.
Yeah. So basically it just means that if you do sell it to someone else, you need to make sure that it's not exclusive.
Right.
You have to look at their contract.
And they can't come back and say, we own this now, and you can't have it, so you need to pull all your Wayfinders out of... Or go back to the PDF and remove that.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
But the key factor is if you want to use it, especially in a portfolio, the text is yours.
Mm-hmm.
The art and the layout are not. So if you get permission from the artist and the layout artist, you can potentially post it as is. But
you have to credit them, though.
Yes, and you do
it's
have to credit them.
It's also a free PDF, so again, you could just send...
Yeah, like honestly, when I...
PDF to someone.
It's like sending a reference, right? I just send a link to the PDF, and then they can look at it.
Well, and that's more bang, right? I mean, if you just send whatever, get a proof that, I mean, you could say you printed it in Omni for all they care. But if you actually send them the PDF of it, they look it up. They see that this is the whole product. Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah.
Hey, the product actually looks really good, so it's not...
Yeah.
I don't know what Wayfinder is, but I look at it now and it's, goddamn, it's really nice. You know, then it just adds credibility. They see the entire product and they see you are part of that. So it actually just...
Because there is also widely varying standards and quality amongst fanzines.
Right.
So to show that this is the caliber of thing you were published in as opposed to something that somebody did on a Xerox at home. It helps, you know.
Right.
So does that answer your question? Kind of?
Mostly.
Okay.
In a roundabout way, we answered it in 10 minutes.
It's a yes, but unfortunately.
Okay. So, do's and don'ts. Article. So, we have certain types of articles we accept. There has very occasionally been an article submitted that was not one of our published types that we thought, oh, this is really awesome. So, we added it. Not to say that never happens, but in general, especially if it's your first time, sticking to one of the types of articles that we say we accept is easier. In the submission announcement, which is you can get to it through the Wayfinder Facebook page. It's on the Paizo Community Use Forums.
Yep.
Every type of article is listed and detailed what we expect in that article is all written out there. So if you want to know kind of what we're looking for, it's all there. Very briefly, we have advice articles, which was an example of one that got added a few issues ago. But advice articles, it has to be like very, very, very solid. Like a lot of advice articles don't get in unless they're very focused and on theme. And
anybody downloading Wayfinder doesn't need the generic Games Master advice that's probably in the Game Master guide. Right.
So it's things like we've had some that are about, like when we did our issue of the 5 years of Pathfinder or whatever, we had ones about how to mod stuff into various APs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was very specific. Bestiary, as I said, monsters, you can submit every monster as an entry. Classes, you can come up with classes, that kind of thing. What we call crunch is rules-based content. So feats, spells, anything like that that's quite heavy on the rules goes under that column for us.
Class stuff is stuff more like archetypes or bardic performances or anything specific to a class as yes. opposed to generic crunch. So like new kingdom building stuff would be crunch rather than yeah. class, just to give you an idea.
Yeah. Fiction, we take fiction as long as it's thematic and not... With fiction, it's a little tricky because we are PG-13, especially with the Fae issue.
Everything is PG-13.
I know, but we adhere to that. Especially with the Fae issue, there was some stuff that unfortunately just got a little close to that line, and so... but yeah. So, fiction, flavor, we call it flavor. So there's gazetteers, which are great. We love gazetteers. Because they
really love flavor articles in
yeah.
general.
Because yeah, flavor articles are they are delicious. But they're also
the
kind
nice
of
thing is they don't go out of style when somebody releases, say, a second edition.
Yeah. Yeah.
For and example.
Actually,
it's going to take a while for that before Starfinder.
Yeah. I hope so. But yeah, I was chatting with someone last night who's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Wayfinder that'll translate to second edition because there's no rules in it. It's a town or it's a, you know, a location. So it doesn't have to be a town. It can be a shop. It can be, you know, I don't know, other things.
There's been ones that are like noteworthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. it's a place, and they don't talk about the town at all, but they talk about the people in the town.
And it's not necessarily an NPC with a stat block and everything.
Don't send us an NPC with a stat block. Don't tell us about your character.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after flavor, there's we'll take game articles. So anything with regards to the adventure card game. Because we've had a couple people do like a little themed thing for the adventure card game, which is super awesome. Or just we've even had people submit like brand new games they created. So
or games that are older, but they've redeveloped them so that they fit the theme. Mm-hmm. So we had one that was in the Linear King.
There's one in the
kind of a
Temeria
one
too.
Yeah, and they actually just changed it, the theme of it, made images for how the game pieces look in the game.
Yeah,
and, but it's an old game, yeah.
Yeah, a variation of Go, I think, in Numeria
yeah.
article.
Right.
Yeah, and there's like an Otello one too, I think.
Yeah,
with the board, black and white board.
So we've been able to do that. The card game won't necessarily be very useful for this next issue since it is
Starfinder,
yeah. and there is no Starfinder card game.
No, yet. But yet.
I wouldn't put it by past my sailing career.
Oh, I'm sure it's in
do
the
that
works.
Some,
yeah.
Items, magic, technological, well, in this case, technological items as well, anything like that.
Yeah.
What we call sidetrack seeds, and actually it's a good point because sidetrack seeds are also word count exempt. So a sidetrack seed...
No,
aren't they?
No, they're not. They're just 325.
Oh, they're 325, right. So a sidetrack seed is basically, it's not a sidetrack, it's like a paragraph, it's a hook, basically. It's a developed hook.
Have a look at some of the other issues for examples, but there's generally a bit of a background, a hook, and then a resolution section
is
the idea. So you get the idea for a whole little sidetrack, obviously, but it's just the seed of it.
Yeah.
And that allows people to, these are just basically little gems, little seeds that suppose says I could develop an entire
encounter
thing.
Or something. Yeah.
You know, some little sidetrack thing in my campaign. That this would be great I will have to spend the effort to do it, but this is a great idea that would be really great. Yep. Or it might inspire you, like, I really like that idea, but it would be even better if I did this. So, but it's not committing to a full adventure for our issue.
No stat blocks, just... no. Yeah. Songs and poems. We've actually had some very interesting songs and poetry. In the this one, we have someone did new lyrics to Queen songs. So, like, lesser known Queen song. Was it one or two?
I think...
I thought it was
probably in the last issue as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has a little Freddie Mercury red cap.
Yeah. So it's
pretty awesome. And yeah, the same guy did one earlier for...
Mary?
No, it was the Chelyaks one, right?
Oh, yeah.
That and so we did one that was a Freddie Mercury opera singer. It was Kevin Elf sort of thing. That one was even cooler. I mean, Crystal Frazier actually drew that one, and everybody was like, and he was doing the whole, Freddie Mercury thing. It was great.
Yeah.
So, kind of seeing a theme there.
And final the last article type is quite popular, is the Wheel and Woe, or Wheel or Woe? Wheel and Woe? I'm never sure.
Wheel and Woe.
Wheel and Woe. And Woe.
So, the Wheel and Woe, we get, a decent number of submissions for this. The key thing... about a Wheel and Woe is the two characters need to be very clearly related to each other, which is something that's been happening a little bit less and a little bit less. Mm-hmm. It's not two NPCs in an article. It's a good, a boon and a... What's the opposite of a boon?
Bang.
Bang.
who are related to each other. So, we've had articles where it's two sisters, right? And one will help you and one will not.
Well, then, and related isn't, blood relation.
Yeah,
it's basically... they are engaged. There is a story. They are connected in some way.
There's
a connection in there that they are enemies, or maybe they're friends that are not. It's basically one is, and there are two NPCs that your party will meet.
Yeah, and there needs to be a strong connection between them,
and they have a story that your NPC, your PCs could get involved or stuck in the middle of. So this is kind of, and a lot of times this is what the sidetrack is based on.
Yeah,
is. Conflict between those two and how your party gets sucked into that.
Yeah, creates the adventure. So basically that ends up being, it looks like two NPCs when you publish it, but they have to be related to each other.
I mean, it is two NPCs, but it's two NPCs with good, strong story connections, so it's basically almost like a sidetrack seed with the two characters statted out.
So typically those are 1,500 words, because otherwise it would not be enough words.
It's really hard to cram two NPCs.
Right, so usually they are not super high level 11,
because
this their spell list would probably fill.
We still have a hard cap of CR6.
It used to be CR7. I think we started lowering it to CR5 because it's even the sevens were getting out of control.
Yeah.
See, the problem with that is that if we could cram all of that onto two pages, I have art and art. I have two PCs that need to, the NPCs that have art so you can see what they look like. And if you fill that whole page with words, then I have no art, or the art is tiny.
Also, the more words you put into the stat block, the less words you have to use to describe what their story connection is.
Yep.
So a lot of the time it's good for at least one of the characters to be very simple.
There's
to be
one.
A fighter or a rogue.
And that's really good because look how big that art is. It's beautiful.
Right. And I, as someone who has helped develop a Wheel and Woe, it's really cool to see what your characters look like when someone else draws them. So we want the art to be nice and big.
Yeah.
So basically each character gets about 750 words. Yes.
Well, the artist is just as important as the writer. Yep. It's
absolutely
their work too.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Well, and here's the trick on that is any reader can go this and go through it, and this is what they're going to do, right? They're going to page through it and look.
If it's
a lot of text, they're not going to stop.
No.
But if they go through the text and they go, whoa, what's that? Oh, my God, that's beautiful art. Look at these. Are they sisters? What's going on?
And then they're going to...
And then it draws them in. So it really...
So, yes, stick to the categories.
No.
I'm trying to keep Tim on track. That's what he tasked me with today. We'll get to art in a second. Make sure you keep it PG-13. Keep it to the theme.
Keep it on word count.
No.
Meet the deadline. doesn't fit an article type. Oh, And even if you do get accepted, this is not something I expect from anyone in this room, because we're all awesome people.
Better not.
But unprofessional conduct can still get you rejected from the magazine. Because, again, we are all volunteers, so beaking off at an editor who's volunteering to look at your work is probably going to get you rejected.
That sounds a great lead into editors.
Oh, it does sound, doesn't it? Okay, great. Editors are kind of my little world. Once we pick the articles, I send out a call, so I have a roster of people who have volunteered to edit for us. Not everybody's available every time, and that's totally fine. So I send out the roll call where I say, okay, these are the dates. We do two rounds of editing. So each round is about a week, 7 to 10 days, depending on what I can afford to give people. So editors typically get, I try for 3 articles each, depending on how many editors I have. Sometimes I have to give 4. Or if they get a bunch of 300-word articles, I'll give them 5 because the word count is still... So I do look at word count as well as number of articles, as far as workload goes. So then send out the roll call, get the list of who's available, and then I assign articles. Some of our editors are also contributors, so I try not to give an editor their own article to edit. I don't always succeed, but I do try.
If you do get it, just let us know and we'll send you something else.
Yeah, you can send it back. I'll send it to somebody else. And I don't give the same article to the same editor 2 rounds as well. I do track that. So the idea being, when you enter our editing pool, I have an assessment that I send out just to see sort of like, are you really good with rules? Are you better with grammar? Like, where your strengths are. And we need everybody. Like, we need all kinds. So if an article, say it's a crunch article, but it's got its feats, right? So I'll send it to somebody to make sure the math is correct and the rules aren't broken, and then I'll send it in the next round to someone who will check the grammar and make sure that it's communicating in the English language. So that's the 2 rounds of editing, and then once I get everything... So between the 2 rounds of editing, I do my best to go through everything and just look for anything, because editors will occasionally flag, like, this doesn't make any sense, or we really need to look at these rules, or whatever, or if they didn't have time to get back to the author and there's a serious problem. So I try to look at everything and then send it out again. And then when it all comes back a second time, I look through everything again. Editors, as I said, are invited to work with authors, so if there is an issue, it can certainly go back to the author, and they can say, like, this is a bit of a problem, can we rework this? Like, do you have time to do it? When I was an editor, I would say, hey, this is the concern. Do you have time to work on this? Are you comfortable with me adjusting this for you if you don't have time? And sometimes people come back and they're like, no, I don't. I submitted this. I don't have time to work on it. Do what you need to do. Which is great.
If you're interested in being an editor, send an email to us.
Yes, at Wayfinder. It's the same.
Fanzine. Gmail.
Yes, the same address that you'd send submissions to, so it's in the submission thing. Yes, if you're interested in being an editor, you send us an email, I send you the assessment, give you a deadline, you send the assessment back, I look it over. You are not going to fail the assessment, I will not reject you for the assessment. It's more about figuring out where your strengths are. And then you will sit on the list until I send out the roll call.
And if it's important for editors to know you need to track changes, and comments are really good.
Yes. Especially if you change math, it's really great to put a comment on the side saying what you changed and why. So that we can track what's going on, because we go back and obviously accept or reject everything in the end. So,
I just say, I don't know, I don't remember if I did this when I was doing it or what it was, but when I do my editing, I really like, similarly, if you're writing and you're doing something that involves math, show me your math. That makes my life as an editor much easier.
Yeah, right. If you're submitting something with math.
I'll often punch numbers into Hero Lab and just see if I can figure it out.
Yeah,
But if it's in the article, that's a faster pass for sure.
And if you're submitting magic items or something like that, and you include your math for where you got your prices, that goes a long way to helping us.
Yes. Yep.
And we'll go a long way for you in the freelance world.
Yes. As an editor, even more so than as a contributor, deadlines are extremely important. Because by the time we get into editing, I usually get from Tim about 3 weeks, maybe 4 if I beg, to get everything from roll call to ready for publication. So when I say you have 7 days, you have 7 days. And I have had to chase people. It's not awesome. It doesn't necessarily get you kicked off the list, especially if it's a one-time thing. If you do it repeatedly, it probably will get you kicked off the list. If you can't meet a deadline, I can't rely on you, then you're off the list. In particular, for the next issue, if anybody knows anyone who's really good with Starfinder and is interested in editing, please send them our way. I will also be sending out an email to our existing editors, of whom I see a few in this room, saying that, asking if you're familiar with Starfinder, if you're willing to learn it, if you're not comfortable with it, whatever. So we have an idea of where we sit for this next issue, because it is so different from what we've been doing. So that's editing, I think.
In a nutshell, more or less.
Yeah. And then while editing is happening, we also have art.
Art. So, yeah, when I took that over, I was just doing the editing, being the editor-in-chief, but then Hugo had to step down, and I took on the art, and it turned out that I really liked doing the art direction. Because when I do the art direction, I get to dictate what the issue is going to look like, and who's going to do it. So it turns out to be a whole other aspect. It's the art's very important. It's, to me, it's the eye candy. It's what makes people get engaged with the article. So I enjoy going out and finding new artists or having artists that want to get involved so that they now can flesh out their portfolio with some published pieces. I've always abhorred the idea that I'm paying you with exposure, because that is a faux pas and very bad taste. Mm-hmm. To even say to an artist, but if I can deliver it, mm-hmm. that's something that I can do. And also, we don't get paid for it. It's, nobody's making any money on it, and I'm making money off of artists. And again, they retain the rights to their art, so it's kind of a win-win for everybody. And it's just a community project. So I am always grateful and astounded by the artists that want to get involved. And so this is how you do that. And anybody an artist here? Nope.
Okay. Great.
So I'm speaking to the recording then.
Yes.
So basically it works the same way. We have a roster as editing. I have a roster. Anybody who wants to be an artist in Wayfinder just needs to send me an email with a link to their portfolio so that I can take a look at it. Not every artist fits the theme, so a lot of people have different styles. Sometimes it's very whimsical, and sometimes they really excel at a certain thing or a certain style that doesn't fit a dark, like for Ustalov, it's got to be dark and spooky, but you draw chibis. So that's not going to work. But I keep the roster open, and I have right now probably about 40 to 50 names in the roster. And every time we go through an issue, when we get close to the submission deadline, I put out an email to everyone on the roster. We're about ready to close. This is the theme. In probably about 4 weeks, I'm going to start making assignments. Are you interested in the theme? How many can you do? How many illustrations are you willing to contribute? Maximum. I'm probably not going to use it for everything, but if I have to, how many? And so I get responses back, and then that fills my roster for the issue of who's available and how many potential illustrations I have, because I know off of the articles how many illustrations I'm going to need. So I need to balance that out. Once that's done and we have picked our articles, then I start sending out the assignments. And what I do with that is I literally am reading an article, I reread the article, and I have multiple tabs open for DeviantArt and all of the different artists, and I just start going back and forth reading, getting in my mind's eye what this art should look like, and then looking for the artist's works until I get a match of this is the match, this is the style I'm looking for. Hey, they've even drawn something that's very similar to it, so I know they can do it, and I really like that. So, and then I assign whatever their maximum, whatever I need from them. I try to never go over what their maximum, this is what I'm willing to do for you. And I usually give them 8 weeks from start to finish to turn that back over. So, and that's kind of pretty much it. Things that will get you off of that list. You always be on the list. Things that get you removed from the list are you flake. Mm-hmm. You basically, I make an assignment and you disappear. And you don't ever tell me why you never drew it. You never did the illustration. And or repeated attempts to ask you for it and you're continually late. And then you're late again. And then you're late again. Mm-hmm. And then you submit something that's obviously not your best. Really, I am super accommodating because I have a family and I have a, this is volunteer work and things happen.
Ooh, submitting something that's not PG-13 and refusing to change it.
Yes, that's another one that'll do it.
Yeah.
Submitting something that doesn't fit the standards and you say that's it and that's, and you're not willing to make any edits. But, generally I'm very accommodating. I always will give extensions if you're upfront about why you're late or why you're not going to be able to make it. I am super accommodating because I've built in my own timeline for when I really, really, really need it and when I really, really would like it. Yeah. So if you kind of don't work with me on that and you're not open with yourself and with me, that will get you off the list. And so, I mean, it's pretty simple. But it's a volunteer magazine, and we're all in the same boat, and we all want to make the best product that we can. So
once the art is all in and the edits are all in, we go to layout, which is Dane's thing. And the brief version is he lays it out,
right?
Because we're getting short on time, so it gets laid out.
Yeah, and we are looking for volunteers for that as well.
Yeah, because poor Dane's been doing the whole magazine by himself for a long time.
So if you're very, very proficient with InDesign, and you're very comfortable with layout, and you're comfortable with following his template, then we're always still looking for help on that.
If you're looking for practice in layout.
Yeah, anyone in here who's aspiring to be a graphic designer. After we get a PDF back, we send it into proofing. Proofing historically has happened about 6 to 8 weeks before PaizoCon, usually like we try for February, we don't always succeed. Usually it's March, maybe April. So we send the PDF out, you get an assignment of a certain number of pages to look through, and again, it usually goes to the editors. So you're looking for orphaned words, you're looking for spelling mistakes, you're looking for layout problems, and then we give you a template document that you fill out with all your problems, and we send it back to Dane, and he fixes everything. And then once it's done, in the past, it has gone to the printer, and we get this lovely thing back. In keeping with our fancy Starfinder issue, we have decided to move into the digital age, and our next issue will only be a PDF. It will only be online.
Right.
There will be no printed copies.
No more printed copies.
But it will still release right around PaizoCon.
Oh, yes.
Also, partly to save Tim's back.
Yeah,
because he has to carry all those wayfinders in every time.
Yeah, on his head. I don't know how he does it.
So I'll just be really short about it. This we have been successful for several years in being able to raise the money, but I've watched that cash dwindle, and this year we spent all of our cash. So it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to track down advertisers, sponsors, to just get the money. And that draws us away from what we want to do. It also is it's a legal burden and a financial burden. And it takes a lot to manage it. As we kind of try to find the balance of how to keep doing this without burning out and keeping our interest, and also addressing the focus of what we really want to do is get new freelancers involved and give them the exposure and the credit. We've decided this is the best way for us to really double down and focus upon promoting new talent by kind of cutting out all the things that distract us and frustrate us about the issue. And that was one of the big ones. It's not fun to to the business side of it. So if we turn it back to being more of a volunteer effort where we can focus total content, we don't have to have ads in anymore. We can just, that's several more articles that we can put in. And it lets us focus on what this is really about. And this is really about fans getting exposure, getting into the industry, getting themselves published and feeling good about it. So.
And honestly, our PDF downloads have been exceeding our cover. Our
absolutely. I mean, we print 500 copies, and then the downloads are in the 2,000, 3,000 range.
So
we know that most people are downloading it regardless.
Any parting questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Since we're down to our last 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Probably an obvious answer, but if we want to volunteer the layout, just same email?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Everything goes to the same email.
Yep. And Dane and I have been talking about... doing a layout test or just to see how
if you've done any, you can send any examples of stuff you have done, or
I'm a bit rusty, but that's good. People practice.
For art, do you take photography, like digitally modified photography?
Maybe. I would have to, I mean, I would just have to see it a lot. I mean, it really depends on if it fits the theme. I mean, if it's a style that actually is like, boom. I mean, for fantasy, having pictures, it's not necessarily, doesn't kind of fit the theme. It's sort of jarring in a way, especially since you don't see that in any. What we try to do is try to really mimic Paizo's products, like, tremendously. And get that level. And photos are kind of like jarring, but here we are at Starfinder, and I have no idea if it actually works really well. I totally do it.
The answer is build a portfolio and let Tim have a look at it.
Well, and that's part of the roster. If you send it, and that's something that I'm like, ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah, that would be really great.
It hits my mind eye, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing. But yeah, it's hard for me to say until I see it, and I see that it's a match and it works with the theme. But,
yes.
Yep.
Even though the Alien Archive is loaded with racial options for players, is that an option for the new Wayfinder potential, like indigenous creatures of the station?
Absolutely.
Of the station, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah, anything that fits Absalom Station.
If you can find it in a Paizo book and fit it in Absalom Station, I would say it's probably a good bet to try it for Wayfinder.
Yeah, I mean, I just played the Starfinder Society thing, and they had weird, tentacly alien creatures in the, you know, in a pool of... coolant.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know why that's there, but it's there and it fits. So it just, that's, I'm not going to say, where did it come from? I mean, it could come from off station and it's just inhabiting there, but if it's new and there's a reason for it to be on the station, I have no problem.
I mean, we'll even take spacecraft stuff, assuming that Absalom Station has a dock. So
it may even have a zoo.
Yeah, it could. If you want to write a zoo article, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the Alien Archive is going to be, it's going to kind of
fit
outside the box.
You said earlier that magic items were another one of the things that were kind of work count exempt, but what is a standard range on work count for magic items?
For any given magic, I would never go over 300 words with a single magic item. It's sort of my rule of thumb, and generally the shorter the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some as low as 100, 150 words, but obviously that's a very...
Writing an interesting magic item in under 100 words is really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure the cloak resistance is probably under 100 words, but it's not a very interesting item.
Right.
With a magic item, unless you only have one item that you want to submit, I would probably... write 750 words of magic items, so like two or three magic items, submit that as an article, because as I said, like with the magic items we do the same thing, right? If you submit three and we're like, oh, this middle one's really cool, and then we'll add
it. But also if there's a really good theme through a 750 word magic item article, that's much more likely to get accepted
and be a single article
than us cherry picking one magic item out of it.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, like if you have one good idea, if you only have one, cool, submit one. But
because that's it. If we have to do the work of cherry-picking items from four different articles to put an article together that fits the issue, we're less likely to do that than take one that's a really good themed article.
I don't know about that. We tend to do it. We tend to do it anyway.
Yeah,
but
it is what it is.
But if it makes it easier on you,
yeah, exactly. Right. We'll often take the easier route.
And the word count thing is also kind of tricky because magic items are really good with you can put art of the item in, right? So if I have an article that has multiple items that I want to put more art in, I'm less finicky about hitting that word count. I can kind of fidget because in this case, I have lots of art that can fill the empty space that it would normally suffer if I had an article that was over or under. Yeah. So that's why a lot of times when we start cherry picking and we slam in an item article, I'm kind of more looking at layout and how many pieces of art I can stick in there, and I'm less concerned about.
Also, I'm really sorry to the editors in the last one who got the 4,500 word magic item article.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that's about it because we got to clear out for the next group.
There's
30 stairs in the hallway. So
questions over the next
yeah.
day or so.
We are available. If you got extra questions, I'm always willing to stop and talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can actually get all the full answers out of Tim that I cut him off from.
And if you'd like to get involved, email us. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.